Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, September 6th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Chris Borley. Chris works on staff here at Mount Brook Baptist as the Active Christian Living and Music Ministry Associate. Active Christian Living is what we call our senior adult ministry, and Chris is very talented in music and uses his talents to support our music program as well. Chris is going to read God's Word for us today, and then afterwards, he and I will sit down to have a time to talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Chris, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mary. I'm excited to be here. Our scripture passage today is Acts chapter 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging on his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of those people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses, and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Thank you so much, Chris, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Thank you for all you do for Mountain Brook Baptist. You have a pretty long title. Remind us of what it is.
Well, if I were to be very specific, it would be Associate to the Active Christian Living Ministry and Music Ministry.
Tell us what that means.
Well, it means that I am Kelly's assistant in the ministries that he does here at Mountain Brook Baptist. So I help with the things that may take up a little more of his time where he could be doing something a little bit more important, like planning services, which he does, instead of going up and then laying out the hymn sheets for Sunday. I'll take care of that for him.
What else do you work on?
I work with the Active Christian Living Ministry, which is our 55 and up ministry. Of course, I sing with the Mellowbrook Singers, and they're my favorite part of the week. I love our Thursdays where we get to go and rehearse our music and then have lunch together. It's just such a joy to sing with them every week and go out into the community and do what we do.
Tell me about your family, where you grew up, maybe about your background.
I grew up 30 minutes north of Birmingham in a small town called Morris, Alabama. I went to Mortimer Jordan High School. I had a wonderful childhood where I grew up with both my parents and a little sister. My family adopted me from birth. I think it's a beautiful picture of Christ and, you know, the grace that I received in my being chosen. And so I think that example is carried with me throughout my entire life and in small ways and large ways that maybe I haven't always noticed.
What were some of your hobbies growing up?
I was a baseball player and a golfer. In any given Saturday or Sunday, you could find me on the golf course, and any other time, you'd probably find me out in the backyard throwing a ball of some kind. You know, we kind of changed seasonally what kind of athletes we were.
Well, how did you learn to sing?
I didn't really start singing in the kind of technical way until senior year of high school, but my parents used to say that I would sing along with Tarzan and Phil Collins, but when they came back into the room, I was too shy, so I would stop. But senior year of high school, my choir director at Mortimer Jordan, Margaret Heron, came up to me and she said, "I need men in our choir, and I'll put you in the advanced choir. I'll teach you how to read music. I'll teach you how to do all this, and you'll be a great addition." Because she heard me singing up and down the hallways, and by that point, I had started playing the guitar. So it was one of those kind of natural progression things. And I'd hurt my shoulder, so I couldn't play baseball anymore. So I thought, okay, well, this will be a different outlet.
Wow, what a shift. And then in college, what did you study?
Well, I started as a business major. I was a business major for a year, and I said, oh, I'll be music adjacent my entire life. I'll open a music store or something along those lines. And then we went to Europe our first year in the concert choir at UAB, and that changed everything. I said, well, if I'm going to be music adjacent, I might as well be all in on this music thing.
And so then you changed your major to music?
I changed my major to music then and spent the next 4 years earning a bachelor's degree in music, and then went off to the Manus College of Music in New York City for a master's. Of course, that time was cut short by the pandemic, but it led to some pretty great benefits of being back in Birmingham, where I would eventually reconnect with Fallon, and then we would get married.
I can't wait to hear more about this story. Tell me how you guys met and then how you fell in love.
Well, we first met in the chapel choir at Mountain Brook Baptist. Fallon was a student and I was a first-year intern. So there's a 4-year age gap between us. So we were friends for 5 years. But we were one of those sets of friends that would pick up wherever we left off. So one of us would go off to wherever we were going, and then we'd both come back to Birmingham and say, oh, let's grab coffee or let's grab dinner, and then catch up right where we left off. And after the pandemic started, we both started working at the Summer Days program upstairs in the ELC, and we started seeing more of each other. And our catch-up that normally happened just felt different.
Uh-oh.
It felt like there was something that we had not noticed until this point. And so when we left that first meeting, there was more than okay, I'll see you next time. There was, when can I see you again? Which I thought was really sweet. It was a really quick connection. I mean, we only dated for 11 months, 12, almost a year, and then were engaged and married shortly after.
And tell us a little bit about Fallon's progress in her studies as well.
Mm-hmm. Fallon did her undergraduate at Wachita Baptist, which is out in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And now she's at Samford University at the Beeson School of Divinity, where she's doing a master's degree. And she's got one semester left. So she finishes in December. And we don't really know what's next. We're really putting that at the Lord's feet right now of where and when and how all of our collective interests and passions will come together.
Talk to me more about this season.
This season has been one, especially for me, a little bit older and a little bit further along in the quote-unquote career portion, where I made the choice to wait. And waiting is hard for me. I'd like to think of myself as a driven person, someone who's very career-oriented. But I think what the Lord is showing me in this season is that waiting is not always something that means no progression. So in this season, I've still been able to go and do music things. You know, I went off this summer to San Diego to sing in a young artist program, which is basically an opera gig for 6 weeks. And I found through that a real desire to not follow that career path as closely as I was expecting to. So I think the Lord is also teaching me, sometimes you don't know as well as what you think you do, what you want. So we're finding that out together. Fallon has been a real great source of inspiration and a great sounding board on all of the confusion that I have. You know, sometimes it feels like the Lord, like you're leaving the Lord voicemails and he's just not answering your call. But the thing about voicemails is he can get back to you at any time. And so I felt on the way home, because we drove out together so that I would have a car in San Diego, and on the way back, I felt that I had the time to really sit and reflect and pray and ask the Lord to kind of give me an answer. And he gave us an answer in a way that was beyond clear. You know, the story of Abraham and Isaac was one that I had, of course, understood as if we sacrifice our desires and wants to the Lord, he will take them and give us what we really need. But I hadn't seen that sacrificial lifestyle as what I should be gleaning from that passage. And the same way with Moses, when he sees the burning bush, he takes his shoes off and leaves the shepherding crook behind to go and do something that is different from the place that he'd put himself in. So here I had found a way for myself to be a musician. And the Lord told me, well, that's all well and good, but you should try something different. And so we're figuring out exactly what that different is. I've always been interested in the military, and I'd like to go off to officer candidate school. I think I have the qualifications for it. And it seems to be a lifestyle that is more cohesive for our family unit. So that's what I'm pursuing right now, which is definitely a departure from, you know, classical music and being an opera singer full time. But there are so many opportunities there that it looks like it's the perfect transition.
Wow, we want to hear more about this. Specifically, are there opportunities to sing in the military?
There are. Each branch has a military band, which has a chorus. You know, they all have their own quote-unquote premier bands, which are stationed outside of D.C. And those are, you know, the bands that would play on the 4th of July ceremonies outside of the White House. And then there are regional bands all across. Now, I'm hoping to be a band officer, which is someone who would lead rehearsals and conduct and, you know, go to budget meetings for the band and what they might require. But those opportunities are exciting and something that we really look forward to.
Chris, I want to hear a little bit more about your faith formation, how you grew up. Did you grow up in church? When did you come to faith? Some milestones along the way.
Well, I was not someone who grew up in church. I grew up going to vacation Bible school. My grandmother on my mother's side would take me every summer, and I gave my life to Christ there. But then, you know, as one might when they're young, they don't necessarily have an understanding of what that is. And so there wasn't much follow-up after that. I remember a baptism. I remember feeling like I had become part of the church. And I thought, okay, well, I've checked that off. And now what's next? So after baptism and finding my way back into the church in my high school years, I started to really understand what a life devoted to Christ looked like. If it hadn't been for the small country church out in Morris Hague Missionary Baptist Church, I don't think I would have known exactly what that would have looked like beforehand. I, of course, had become involved in the music ministry there because as a young person playing the guitar, I thought, okay, well, what is the best way that I can serve? Probably playing on Sunday mornings. I think that's the best way that I can go about being useful. We had our music minister pass away suddenly, and so in that time, I became the interim music minister. And this is all before really college had started, and so I didn't know anything about being a music minister or what that entailed. So I wouldn't even call myself that. I would have called myself a worship leader, which I don't think that there's a difference in those titles now, but back then I thought there was. College brought me to Mountain Brook Baptist Church because Dr. Hatley had put out a classifieds ad, if you would, for a job as a music intern here. And as someone from Morris, I had never experienced Mountain Brook before. You know, we thought the big city was trustful. So that transition from small country church to liturgy and the organ was a huge turning point in my worship of the Lord because I just saw how big this was in stature. And I realized that I had made God too small. You know, God is such an enormous entity that there's no way that I could understand how big he is. And I had made him so small.
And so when you came to Mount Brook Baptist, did you begin immediately singing in the choir?
I was immediately singing in the choir and really thrown in first week. Kelly said, okay, you're going to do chapel choir and you're going to do the sanctuary choir and you'll come on Wednesday nights and have rehearsal. And I thought, okay, well, this sounds great. You know, this is a real chance for me to continue developing as a musician. And I get to sing more, which is good. It was a real blessing to me.
What is your favorite thing about singing in the choir?
I love the community that it provides. I feel like the choir has become second family. And it was immediate. Back almost 10 years ago, I started in 2014. So even then, you know, the faces have changed, but the feeling stays the same. We are still a choir family. I love the way that Kelly will write us notes when he sends out his choir notes and he'll say, hello, choir family. To have community like that is invaluable.
And in this season, what is a song or a hymn that leads you to worship the Lord?
It's hard to not pick Abide With Me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. You know, on that drive back from California, I felt helpless in times, and the Lord was there, and he answered. I had left him voicemail after voicemail, and he called me back.
Thank you so much, Chris, for joining the podcast and all you do in the work of ministry here at Mount Brook Baptist. Now, I didn't ask you this beforehand, but you know I love to hear you sing. So I'm wondering if you might end our time together by singing the first verse of Abide With Me.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, Help of the helpless, O abide with me.